Martin Luther wrote, virtually the whole of scriptures and the understanding of the whole of theology, the entire Christian life, even your life, even more so, depends upon the true understanding of the law and the gospel. The law and the gospel. Now, Luther didn't just create law, gospel, theology out of thin air. It comes directly from scriptures, and even more to the point, directly from what Dan read for us in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians. So just do a quick little Old Testament recap so you pick up on what Paul is getting at. God, many years ago, as we heard in Exodus, appeared to Moses in that cloud, right? And Moses didn't get to see God's face, if you remember. He got to see his backside, basically. And then later, you would connect with God through the Ark of the Covenant in Old Testament theology. And then in the monarchy, you could pray towards Jerusalem. So it's called sort of temple theology. In other words, you could, as long as you were praying in the right direction, you could sort of access God a little bit. All this is about how God is revealed. Okay, when you talk about law and the gospel, you're really talking about how do you experience, how does God reveal God's self to us, to each other. In the story of Israel, the most vivid instance of this theme was the finely woven curtain that was hanging in the heart of the houses of worship, the house of worship. And it separated, if you remember this from the Old Testament, the holy place from the most holy place. It almost sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit, right? This is the holy place, and this is the most holy place. But it really was the Holy of Holies, as Scripture tells us. And it was separated by a beautiful woven curtain. In other words, there was always a veil, to pick up on Paul's language today, there was always a veil between humanity and God. And this happened ever since the Garden of Eden. Something, in other words, that blocked the full revelation of who God is to God's people. Something that created, in some instances, membership cards or even access passes, like you can go to Disney and get the fast pass. Like there was some sort of a pass, protocols to finding God. So how does this revelation and the law work together? Simply, the law becomes the arbiter of how you experience God, of how you see God, of how you interact with God. It becomes the strictures for approaching God, for understanding this revelation of God. And the law is something that you can then manage and control. And you can see this throughout the history of the church or of even theology. Anybody remember rood screens? R-O-O-D, a rood screen. So a rood screen happened in the medieval church. And basically it was a ornate screen that you could see partially through that separated the priest from the people. It was a veil, another version of the curtain, another version of the curtain. So what happens when we have these veils and these obstructions and these partial glimpses? Well, to use St. Paul's language again, our hearts become hardened, right? It becomes a tit for tat, or I can do this to get to do that. It becomes scorekeeping, as I love to rail against. It becomes procedurally focused. But that's not the all of Scripture. Notice Luther says to understand both the law and the gospel. Because there was that day when God was hoisted way up, not on the mountain, but on a cross. And Scripture tells us the curtain of the temple was torn in two. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What we then know is what St. Paul is telling us today, that the veil that separated God from God's people was torn in two, and God people were able to access God directly No more rude screens, as beautiful as some of them are. No more veils, no more curtains. No more access denied, no more key cards. God had come to God's people and revealed the fullness of God's love and mercy through the cross. But herein lies the tension between law and gospel theology, because the law controls and hardens the position of the human, and the gospel provides freedom, as Paul says, and the fruits of the Spirit, like love, charity, kindness, humor, and love, more love. But it's hard, because the gospel requires deep-seated hope in that God of the universe, and faith and trust, and almost dislocation from the individual's agency. Like you have to say, I can't do it. Lord, help me. Lord, do it. But the law just continues to go back and produce more condemnation and destruction. Yeah, everybody's been in a situation where they've been like, why does that person keep doing that to themselves? Or maybe you said it to yourself. Why? Dag blast it. Why do I do that to myself over and over again? Well, that's just the law at work in your life. Just because you're human. Paul's very well aware of this. This is why he's preaching specifically to the church in Corinth about the deadliness of the law and how it distorts our relationship with God. It creates a new veil, in other words, distorting what Jesus did on the cross, tearing that veil from top to bottom. So this lens, and you all have heard me talk about this before, so it's no surprise, it is a way, and I believe an incredibly powerful way, to understand the world. Not just our relationship with God, but the world. Our actions and our reactions with one another. It's a way to understand our dynamics amongst our families, business associates, cousins, friends, neighbors, churchgoers, etc. It helps us to understand the power, in other words, of the law and the power of the gospel of grace. Give you an illustration of just the real power of the gospel coming in and the power of the law. So I was headed to a friend's wedding in St. Croix, little island, you know, in the Virgin Islands. It was an early flight from Charlottesville, 6 a.m. I got there at 5:20. It's not that bad, right? I mean, you'd say that's pushing it. But y'all know, I mean, come on, give me some credit. That's probably pretty early for me. But anyway, so I got there at 5:20. I wasn't checking a bag. I was going basically for one full day. Nev had just been born, so Ashley wasn't going with me. So it was just a really quick trip. My best childhood friend. And so I got there at 5:20, checked in, rounded the bend in the Charlottesville airport, smaller than the Roanoke airport, and the security line was out the wazoo. I was like, oh man, this might get, and I could see the Delta gate through the glass. I was like, well, I'll be patient for a couple minutes, seconds, and then I started begging people. I was like, could I get around you? I got this flight, you know, I don't want to be insensitive about what you're waiting for, but I got to get on this plane, and, you know, times are going. And most people, you know, gave me like a should have gotten here early look, but they let me go, right? Because it was a big group that was traveling somewhere else. And so as I was just about to go through the checkpoint where you show them the boarding pass and your ID, I saw the gate door shut. And you don't like to see doors shut if you're on the wrong side of them in an airplane, right, or airport. Uh-oh, something's going wrong. So I was talking to the guy, and I was like, I'm on this plane. I think I can get through. And he goes, I can't let you through. That plane's already called last call, and they've shut the gate. Security guard wouldn't let me through. And I was like, come on, just let me. I can, you know, of course, I was thinking, I can talk my way into the plane if I can just get through this checkpoint. But I can't jump it because I end up in jail. So if I could just get through here, the guy's like, I can't do it. I'm sorry. Go to the gate, and I'm sure they can help you out. You know, go back to the ticket counter. They can help you out. I was like, you sure? And the guy's like, I wish I could, but sort of our federal law, because your plane is no longer, your plane's taken off, so be letting somebody in that doesn't have a way to go, place to go. And I understand that. The guy's just doing, he's following the law. I go back. See this nice lady, probably was really excited to have the morning shift at Delta that day. God bless anybody who works for an airline. And I was like, here's my situation. She's like, sorry. I was like, what? She goes, sorry. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry too. Can we work on a different way to get to Atlanta? Yep, I'll get you on the plane tomorrow. It's like, tomorrow? That doesn't work. How about tonight? Or like Lynchburg or Roanoke or somewhere else. Atlanta's a big airport. And the lady goes, nope, sorry. I was like, well, come on. It's this wedding, my friend, you know, I just want to be with you. Anyway, I started to grovel, and yeah, I'm pretty good at it, I think. I could sort of be charming. Nothing. I mean, she was not going to bend. And so as she was talking and I was asking her, she was like, look, I can't just keep sex searching every, you know, possible scenario. You can go get on the internet. And I did, you know, back, this is a little bit before phones were really good at that kind of stuff. And so I was like, well, I could drive home, but can you just find me another flight? And right when I said that, I heard this, well, we're still here. And if he's here, he can get on the plane. I was like, did you hear that? The lady goes, they're not talking to you. And I was like, oh, but I think they talked about somebody getting on a plane if he's here. Could that be me? And the lady goes, it's not you. They're not talking about you. And I was like, okay. So we go back to this grovel. And she's like, look, I just can't do this all day. I'm really sorry, but I can put you on the plane tomorrow and you can call the 800 number and wait on hold for 72 hours. And so anyway, and then I hear this another one. Well, if Logan's in the airport, we can get him on the plane. And I was like, whoever's on that receiver just said my name. And the lady goes, that was not intended for you. And I was like, oh my gracious. I'm pretty sure it was, ma'am. I'm sorry. And then there was this like sort of a standoff. And then I hear this. His ticketed name is George Willis Logan. If he's here, we've got time to get to Atlanta on time. I'll wait for him. Get him through security. I'm like, that is me. And the lady goes, okay. But so that was a, and I still get chills to think about that pilot. It was the pilot. Fully administering grace. He knew that on that morning, he was going to be way early in Atlanta. So it wasn't going to affect any of his metrics. He saw the manifest. I checked in, but I wasn't on the plane. It was an empty seat. And he was simply going to wait for me. And they actually reopened the doors and did the stuff that I didn't think they could even do. I don't think they really can. I think the pilot can do whatever the pilot wants, right? So in that situation, the pilot was very much Jesus, right? In the face of all these laws, things that aren't necessarily trying to condemn me, but they had that effect, right? They had that effect. And then here comes this voice, just still small voice in the cave, right? Of, if he's here, he can get on the plane. It's okay. Think how that changes your life when those sort of things happen, right? And that's why when we think about the law and the gospel, it's such an incredible theology to understand our own lived experiences. It's not easy. You know, that story has a great deal of humor and beauty in it. And another way to think about the law and the gospel is the destruction and the evil that we're seeing in the world right now. I was with a friend yesterday and he was scrolling through his phone and I said, I think we're back to doom scrolling again. Remember that term that came out during COVID? And of course, what I'm talking about is the unfolding situation in Ukraine and the images of families being ripped out of their home country, rockets, missiles getting blown into buildings. What is very much a Western, Eastern, Central Europe, you know, a 21st century city under full siege right now, that just breaks your heart from the families that are ripped out of their location and the kids and the innocent lives that are getting lost and the prospects for even a much larger war, which seems to sort of hover over Central Europe right now. And war is probably the ultimate illustration of the law, of the tit for tat mentality, of I'm not backing down and I own this or I'm going to take this. the control, the forces that bring out the absolute worst many times in humanity, right? That brings out the worst in people. And that also makes our hearts break because we're powerless over it, right? We're in our living rooms, and in some ways we can be comfortable there, but yet we watch on TV or we read these stories about what's happening right now, and our hearts just break. Our hearts are just shattered. All we can say is, Lord, have mercy. Where's that Delta pilot administering some grace in this situation? Because in the face of the law, the only thing that can beat the law fully is the gospel, is the grace of God. When Jesus died, he came back, proving once and for all that the gospel trumps the law. So if you want to go tit for tat law, Jesus trumps. It's a way to begin to think about, even in this precarious and extremely dangerous time, our one hope, Paul says. Mediated for me that day through the Delta pilot, but mediated always through Jesus. And so, as we close this sermon, let's remember what we talked to the kids about a few minutes ago. That after the transfiguration, after Jesus revealed his full glory, he hadn't gone to the cross yet, but after he revealed his full glory, he came down to be with us. That's how we can experience those stories of the gospel, of grace and practice. But that's precisely what we pray for right now, is for Jesus to be here, to be present with those in Ukraine, to be present with the refugees, for those that are in harm's way, for the military people that have signed up to defend innocent lives. We pray for Jesus to be with them and to sow those seeds of grace, gospel. So I just want you to pray with me. Can we do that? Let's bow our heads like a good Baptist. Or Presbyterian, Robert McCray illustrated. Lord Christ, you came down from that holy mountain to reveal yourself to us. Upon your death, you tore the temple from top to bottom, fully revealing God's love for God's people, for the gospel that trumps the law. And Lord, at this time in our history, we pray for that grace and mercy and love to be felt and to descend upon the whole world, most especially to those people in Ukraine that are in harm's way, to the military forces of NATO and other alliances, Lord, that have signed up to protect the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy. So Lord, descend upon the evildoers, descend upon all those, Lord, and sow those seeds that only you can sow. Amen.